grateful you are here with us today on It's a Family Affair. Your host, Raquel, and her guests are here to open your minds and hearts to find acceptance in the family you've been given and the ones you've chosen. Through conversations of inspiration, doubt, perseverance, and fear, we all learn to appreciate and find peace in the family dynamic. Let's talk.
Today, talking about her biracial family, the great impacts, the beauties about it, and living in different cultures. This month is Women's Appreciation. We just celebrated International Women's Day yesterday. And so all month long, It's a Family Affair is going to be bringing you powerful, wonderful, brilliant females to share their stories and how they've created their families and how they want to share their loved ones with us and share those stories with us. So we're starting off with Alicia. Welcome, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Well, thank you for having me. This is very much an honor.
Oh, fun. So tell us a little bit. Let's just dive into it. You're from a bicultural family. You know, your mother is Japanese culture and your father is Hispanic. So tell us, you know, how it's evolved for you, how it was growing up, where you've lived.
Okay. Well, at first, I was born in Japan. So my baby years, I was there. Mm-hmm. And my dad was in the military. He was in the Air Force at the time. So they had to plan out very well of how they were going to have me and also be able to travel wherever the military would take my dad. So after that, Japan, we would move out to San Antonio because that's where my dad would be stationed. And then we would spend a little bit of time there, and that's where my sister would be born. And from there, that's when we would kind of move back to Japan with my mom, and we would have our... And I would have my primary years there. That's when I start actually remembering everything. And I went to a Japanese school, primary school, and Japanese, even pre-K school. So my entire foundation is Japanese culture and schooling and the language. I actually didn't learn English until later on.
Oh, okay. And so as things progressed in your dad, so you also had the experience of your dad Billy being in the military. So that caused you to move a lot also. So I understand, you know, what you were back in the States, but then you guys also spent some time in China?
Right. So that was actually because he was involved with Intel. He was working for Intel then. After Rena was born, he was honorably discharged, and he started working for Intel up in Oregon. And that's when we started, that's when we came back to the States, when he got a job in Oregon. And it was probably my second grade, I started learning English, and I was in an ESL class, and that was actually a really difficult transition for me, personally.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. That was a really hard time for me. I didn't know the language, and I had to go to the school where I had no idea who the people are. And it was basically starting from scratch for me, but everyone else was years ahead.
Yeah.
And so that very first transition into America, where I was learning the American culture and the American language, was a very hard year. It was kind of like a, I have to sprint towards where everyone else is and catch up really quickly within 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that then. I mean, because I think now as an adult you see the benefits, because you're now bilingual and you now have the experience of living in different cultures, and now studying in college, you definitely see the benefits. But tell us about some of those, you know, feelings of having to come in and integrate yourself into the English culture, into the American culture, I should say.
It was a lot of mixed feelings. It was exciting but frightening at the same time. And mm-hmm. a lot of it was just everything was the unknown for most of my family except my dad. He knew the language. He kind of knows the culture a little bit. And he doesn't really know Oregon, but he can get around better than any of us.
uh-huh.
So there would be times where it would just be the three of us trying to figure out a way how to our way around the supermarket where we didn't know the language. So our mom would kind of rely on us because we would be learning English on whether how to figure out everything. And it mm-hmm. was just, and at the same time, we were also, me and my sister were kind of helping translate between my dad and my mom because my mom didn't know that much of English either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We actually knew more because of school.
Oh, okay.
So it was really hard for my mom, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as an adult, that's even more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, us as kids, we're more pliable. You know, it's easier for
right.
me to learn. But as an adult, I'm sure that took a lot of courage for her to come with her husband and two young daughters. Yeah,
right.
into a foreign country. Absolutely, absolutely. So you're here, we're listening to It's a Family Affair, and we're here with Alicia Colon, and we're talking about biculturals in the family and how we bring that together and how it can be challenging for kids, as Alicia has shared with us. When we return, we're going to talk about the aspects and the benefits that she sees now as an adult, and she'll share with us more of her story about taking the benefits of being in that bicultural family and making the best of it.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
We want to welcome you with open arms to our family, to our tribe. We know that there are many ups and downs with family. Raquel Benavides' Facebook page, It's a Family Affair, offers encouragement, laughter, and solid advice as we all go through this process we call family. Come hang out. Share your story.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to It's a Family Affair. This is Raquel Benavides. And we're here with Alicia Colon, and today we're talking about bicultural families. Alicia is sharing with us her family. Her mother is of Japanese descent. Her father is Latino. And so we're talking about living around the world, integrating yourself into different cultures and challenges that she faced. And so we're going to continue to talk about now some of the benefits into her early adulthood. So, Alicia, if you'd like to continue to share with us, you know, you were just talking about, you know, when you were young, it was very difficult. You had to integrate into America at about the age of 8. But tell us how you see that now as an adult. Do you see benefits? Are you thankful? Or is it still a little challenging even today?
Oh, I'm completely blessed and thankful and grateful that I had the chance to experience that. And because it had allowed me to open my mind to a wider range of culture and acceptance to a variety of people, I think mm-hmm. I don't think without that experience I would be as open-minded or as
or as accepting of a person as I am right now, as today, and obviously I can still grow to be a better person, but
sure.
but I think the experience has taught me that there are many different types of people in the world who see the world in a whole different type of way, and you just have to listen to them and see why they see it that way, and it's still beautiful. And to me, the part that I love the most is being able to try the different food, and that's what I gain the most out of it, is being able to try all kinds of different cultural foods and loving it all, and being able to share that experience with other people, too. And they may, other people, my friends, may not be able to travel as much as I can, but I can also teach and share and kind of show them that there is a world out there other than the world we live in right now.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, food. Like, food is such a huge connection, breaking bread, really sitting down and taking that time to communicate with someone as you nourish your bodies and you go that route. So what was it like in the household? You know, you have these two different cultures, your dad being Hispanic and your mom being Japanese. What was it like in the household? Was there a predominant, like, was it more matriarchal? Was it patriarchal? You know, how did that work for you guys?
It was a lot of just, my parents really evened it out really well. While living in America, I think my dad understood that it was really hard for my mom. So he kind of allowed her to kind of set up the home in a more Japanese traditional way, where we would take off our shoes at the entrance of our home, and we would celebrate a lot of the Japanese cultural traditional celebrations of, like, Kids Day or New Year's. And so that helped, I think, my mom integrate into America a little bit easier and help her kind of have a little bit of home with her. And it also allowed her to teach us the Japanese culture away from Japan and still allow us to experience that and be kind of involved with that. And I enjoy that as well. I think I liked it a lot better. And for the Hispanic part, my mom was really involved with my dad's family. So she learned a lot of the food, like we were talking about just a little bit ago. And she was able to cook the food for my dad when he was not living away from home and when he was living with us in New Mexico or Oregon. My mom was able to cook the food for him of where he missed home.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's just culturally mixed together from a little bit of everything. And to me, when I grew up, that was normal. I was, it was normal to have Spanish rice one day and Japanese stew the next day and have a Japanese lunch box set and have fish, even though it might have smelled weird for other kids.
So you know what? I'm hearing you speak of your parents, and it really sounds like they had a lot of respect for one another. And they really tried to integrate it for each other to make each other feel more comfortable through the transitions. And supporting that, that's a really beautiful example to be able to have in your parents, especially coming from two different cultures. There wasn't a lot of battle of which would be the predominant culture. It sounds like they really came together to respect each other's and support each other experiencing their own culture. What was that like for you? How do you see the relationship in your parents and them bringing the two cultures together?
I really like how they did that, how there wasn't one that was better than the other, because I think it showed a lot of quality of equality in them, and that how it's important, no matter what it is, you have to be respectful of the other person and equal with them, and that nothing is better than the other, no matter what you think. So you just have to let the person decide what's better for them. And for me and my sister, it was better for us that we learned both cultures, and to us, we made a new culture, which was a Japanese, Mexican, Puerto Rican, integrated American culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very powerful lesson. I think that's something that our listeners, when we're blending families or bringing families together, it really is about what works for your family. And mm-hmm. so as culture and our heritage and our family of origin influences that, it doesn't have to control it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see yourself now as an adult, you know, managing these things? What do you find joy in as far as, you know, the different cultures you come from? And what do you see yourself as a young adult and as you're creating and dreaming up your own life? What does that look like for you?
Well, I just really want to, I think, just hold on to the culture that my parents have taught me and given me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I really want to pass that on to the future generation of my future kids, too,
mm-hmm.
and teach
mm-hmm.
them the beauties of different cultures. And it would, of course, I would think it would be up to them whether they want to accept that culture or not. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I would also want them to explore and be open-minded to other cultures, too.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I also myself want to go out to the world, travel more, explore more, because
mm-hmm.
the more I explore and travel, that's the more knowledge I gain from each different culture or place or person. And they have so much to provide that one
yeah.
place can't. And each new place can show me different things. And I still think I have a lot to be shown.
Absolutely. We all do, honey. You guys are young. You have plenty of time to explore and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're setting your own goals and for travel, I love the way you talk about, you know, your diversity. So as culture plays in a role, it sounds like you guys are really integrated. And one of the things that I keep hearing that keeps ringing as you're speaking is respect. You know, respecting the different places people have come from. And
mm-hmm.
so as we learn more about that and we explore it, we learn, of course, to have a deeper respect for ourselves, you know. So,
yes.
You know, tell me a little bit about, like, you, like, really on a personal level, hon, like having that acceptance and showing that, you know, respect. How do you integrate that really into your personal life? What is that? You know, how does that feel?
I think it makes me feel more loving towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel more understanding of, and I guess, sympathetic of other people's situations, whether it be good
mm-hmm.
or bad. I kind of want to be there for them, no matter who
mm-hmm.
it may be. I always want to be there for the person and be
mm-hmm.
the person that they can confide in.
Yeah.
Because I think shared experience is one thing that is one of the most things that people don't have anymore, is to share the experience that you're going through in life. Because
mm-hmm.
someone else could be going through something similar too, or have been
yeah.
and may have some help and or some encouragement or
mm-hmm.
some, I don't know, something else that could help you too. So I
mm-hmm.
think just opening yourself up and letting others open up to you is a great feeling. And just having that open-mindedness and acceptance is a key to having that open communication with another person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, open-mindedness, that's huge, that's huge. So what would you tell someone that was saying, oh, okay, I'm, like, here in New Mexico, it's predominantly Hispanic, so a lot of our listeners,
mm-hmm.
like, if they were saying, oh, okay, well, my family doesn't accept that I'm dating a black guy, whatever. You know, what
mm-hmm.
would you say to them? What would you tell them now coming from that experience with your parents? What would you share with them?
I think for me, I would just talk to the parents of why they feel uncomfortable that way. And
mm-hmm.
don't take it personal of the reasons why they feel that way, because it may be of one incident they may have had in their childhood where it because of that one incident, they have a bad experience of that race, and they
mm-hmm.
just happen to dislike it. But
mm-hmm.
you don't know that until you ask. So I think just understanding also where whoever you have the relationship of what the, like, discomfort is, then you can understand, okay, I understand that. I respect that. Can you respect my decision of not feeling that way? And I think creating that bridge of understanding helps just connect one another. Even though it may be a disagreement, it just helps build that connection a little bit better. And I think just having that communication at first is just is key too. It's just having the I don't know how to say it, like the willpower to kind of stand up for what you like and be okay with it and not have any judgment heard against it, but also be open to what other people already have in their opinion.
I would define that as self-love. You know, when you have your own sense of conviction and knowing that this is where you want to be. So that's great advice, because understanding and communication is definitely, definitely key. And, you know, we have a lot going on politically in our presidential race with you know, all these different racial things going on. And I really do believe, like, here in America, we are the blending pot. We have all of these great, wonderful, unique cultures that have come together and have blended. And these families like yourself and your mom and dad showing that respect for one another's cultures is very powerful, and I think it's a great example. And I appreciate you coming in and sharing that with us today and bringing that forth, because it's important for families to hear and to not judge themselves. And that's, you know, that's what we're here to do. So thank you so much again for coming on. One thing we do here with Vivid Life, we always ask our guests what your vivid life looks like. So you want to share with us what your vivid life would look like?
My vivid life would be for my parents to be blissfully happy and not have any worries of money or me and my sister or nothing. Just my mom probably would have her bakery. My dad would probably help her with that. And to me, that would make me so happy. And for my sister to follow her dream and become an oncologist or a pediatrician or whatever she makes up her mind on. And then for me to just be able to travel. My dream is to just travel wherever I go, whenever I please. That would be my vivid life.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. I think there's been a lot of great lessons come out of this. One of the things Alicia was sharing with us is respecting the cultures. Her family and her parents definitely gave her a great example of bringing a Japanese and Latino cultures together and respecting one another and being able to raise their kids. And the other great thing that I'd like to point out that Alicia always shared with us is to be open-minded, guys. Like, let's not close ourselves off to something we don't know and then make it a fearful event. You never know where your family of choice is going to come from. And as we extend our tribes and we open our hearts and our minds to other cultures, to other races, we will ultimately see that we are just one race, and that's the human race. So, and, you know, that's the fascination of us all, you know, for us to not look at each other as black or white or Asian, but for us to look at us as humans. You know, so I think your parents have set a great example for that. And thank you for sharing those pearls of wisdom with us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. If you guys would like to, you know, follow Alicia or connect with her, you can connect with her on Twitter. It's also available on our Facebook page at It's a Family Affair. So tune in and join us. We'll be here all month celebrating, like I said, wonderful women. We're going to be talking about women in the corporate environment, women within spirituality. And so join us next week for our next great guest. Heather Ashimara will be talking about spirituality and the tribe we created, family.
Much gratitude and appreciation for sharing this time with us today on It's a Family Affair with Raquel. Take time this week to fill your own family in love and acceptance. And remember to take care of you. You can't give what you don't have. If you'd like to connect with Raquel, just reach out on It's a Family Affair Facebook page. Until next week, much love always. What does your vivid life look like?
What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.